We've been kind of talking about drifting, and I'm going to continue in that vein today about drifting. And I think I told you last week, what's the purpose of the church? I think I might have told you that last week. In case you have not remembered, the church has a purpose. And the purpose of the church, of course, is to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, visit the sick. We are to do those things. There's no question we are to do those things. But the global ministry of the universal church, other than feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, do unto the least of these. Of course, what is the big job of the church? Spread the word of God and make disciples. All nations. It's in Matthew 28, right? And most of you have heard this before. Go ye therefore. We heard this before, right? Go ye therefore into all corners of the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the next one? And make disciples. That's the job of the church. So how do we know when we're doing a good job? That's fair, right? Now, we know we're doing a good job feeding the hungry. We can gauge that, can't we? Mark raises his hand on a Sunday, says, hey, I need help. We're cooking on Wednesday. Right? And then X amount of people show up, and they prepare a meal, and they take it down the light of life. On Thursday, they show up. We can easily gauge that, right, Rob? We can say, well, we did that. We can gauge that. We did that. That's fair, right? We're visiting the sick. I just got done telling you. I spent some time with Larry. He was sick. I visited him. We're doing that. I can gauge that. Okay, we're visiting the sick. I did that. Clothing the naked, we do that. A free market, we can easily gauge that. How many people showed up there? A million or so. A lot of folk. So we can gauge that, right? We did it. So many people came in. So many of us showed up. We can easily gauge that. And so there are things that's quite easily to gauge. We can look at it. We can say, hey, we did it. Well, how do you gauge making disciples? If that's the big responsibility of the church, how do you gauge that? We know we're going out. We're baptizing. We're going to do that. Except the thunder and lightning stopped us from doing that. But we do baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We do that, right? We do that. We are out preaching. I'm going tonight to do that at Teen Challenge. We're doing that. What about the making disciples part? How do we gauge that? How do we gauge that? It's not that we're not preaching and teaching. We're doing that. But are we growing disciples? You know how we gauge that? We watch you. That's how we do it. We watch you. We pay attention. You know, kind of like the dialogues you have with me that you think are just meaningless dialogues. They're not meaningless. I listen to how you talk. I watch what you talk about. I see your concerns, and I listen, and I pay attention to that, and I go, I got some more work to do here. Not necessarily you. I call some people where I work job security. I got a lot of work to do. Is anybody in this room job security for me? I mean, and so how do we gauge the disciple part? How do we know if we're being objective in it? How do we know we're reaching our goals and making disciples? How do we know that? Well, the only way to know that is by watching and listening and paying attention. That's how we know. That's how we know. I mean, growing disciples, and the optimum word is growing, right? Is getting people off of the spiritual bottle. Like we have kids downstairs right now, right? Get them from that experience downstairs with Christina, regardless of your age or stature or size. Get you off of that to what? At the table with the steak and the potatoes, growing in the Lord. How do we do that? And once we do that, and we gauge, as a senior pastor, I gauge and I say, are we being effective? Do we see growth? Am I seeing maturity? Am I seeing people growing up in the Lord? Do I see people's legs cemented in His Word? And then there's a second aspect of that. Once I see that, then I have to make sure that I continue to what? See that. If I no longer see that where I saw it before, what are people doing now? Drifting away. Do you think that happens with Christians?
Yes, sir.
You know it does. You know it does. Where people were firmly rooted, you saw it, and then what happened? They drifted away. Does that mean just drift away from attending a worship service on a Sunday? Oh, no. That's a sign of it, which we're going to talk about. But we're going to talk about today, what's the dangers of drifting away? Is there dangers with that? And what's it? Can I get a what? Oh, yeah. So there's dangers of it, and there are signs of it. And senior pastors like me, we just don't come here on a Sunday morning and bring a message to you. In this particular case, I'm also playing the music for you. No, I'm also watching. Every time I talk to you, or I'm with you, or Sissy's with you, we pay attention. We follow the conversations that we're having. And we see what you're doing, and then we get to say, we got some more work to do. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just that we know we have some more work to do. And that's why the church is in existence today. It was thousands of years ago. And without the Lord coming back, how long is it going to be around, Glenn?
Forever.
See, here's the maturity with Christians that we need to talk about. I talked to somebody the other day, and she said to me, I hope, I pray that they will find cure for cancer in my lifetime. Well, that's a good thought. And I said to her, what else do you hope they find a cure for? She said, well, all those dreaded diseases, I hope they find a cure for that. And I said, well, that's a very good thought. When do you think they'll find a cure for death?
Never.
Let's talk about this. Let's be mature. We're not downstairs, we're upstairs, right? We're not downstairs, we're upstairs. If they could cure every disease known to man, they're going to cure death? Not going to happen. If they cured cancer, something else is going to get you. Is that true?
Yeah.
If they cure Ebola, AIDS, cancer, hepatitis, and they cured all those things known to man, you are still going to what?
Die.
Your heart is going to someday do what?
Stop.
How many mature enough to understand that? That's what's going to happen. Why is that going to happen? We're not downstairs, we're upstairs. Because the mortal body must put on immortality, and the perishable body must put on imperishability, so that the saying will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Where, O death, is thy victory? Oh, where, O death, is thy sting? How many know that's the plan? So mature people can grasp a hold of that. Eventually, your heart is going to what? Stop. If it's not some dreaded disease known to man, someday your heart's going to what? I was at one of the feelings groups, support groups I do. And I have these two older women, they sit next to me. How many know sometimes a teacher puts a student right next to them? How many of you was a student, the teacher said, sit by me? Yeah, I knew you were. Permanent place, right? Marker right there. Well, I have two of those women in one of the centers I work at. We'll call one Donna and Joan. And I gave them honorary doctorate degrees. That's Dr. John and Dr. Joan, because they know everything. And Joan, who's on my right, she's 92 years old. And Joan on my right was one of those kinds of people where somebody would say something, and she'd look at me and she'd go, really? And I'd go, shh, shh, shh. Well, she was in my support group on Monday. She died on Tuesday. They found her. She went to bed Monday night. Aid came in Tuesday morning. Guess what? Home with the Lord. What happened? What happened? Her heart just went, time. This time. Time. A young kid right now going to be at Duster's funeral home, which I'll be going there. A young kid just passed away on a football field because he had a tumor in his heart that nobody knew about. He wasn't sick. He wasn't ill. No dreaded diseases known to man. Just his heart went what? Stop. How many know that could happen to you right now? Does anybody here know whether you have one of those tumors inside of your hearts? Nope. You don't know that, do you? They can cure every disease known to man, but death is still going to get you. Yes. How many are mature enough to understand that? See, that's maturity. That's not downstairs, that's upstairs. And so we don't have to say to ourselves, why does God have it in for me? God doesn't have it in for you. God loves you, and he sent his son because he loved you, and his son died for you because he loved you. And the time is going to come, your heart's going to what, Glenn? Stop. How many understand that? And so what happens is, when we know that we're creating disciples and we see growth, what happens then? We have a saying at the motorcycle club. They call them prospects. When you decide to join, and Clyde wants to join the motorcycle club, by the way. If anybody wants to buy, he's not here, he's singing today, down at the pastor, with Pastor Ed. But look, he wants to buy a Harley. So if you want to buy a truck, he wants to sell his truck, he wants to buy a Harley. So I said, oh, that's really good, Clyde. And Clyde wants to buy a Harley. He wants to join the motorcycle club. And I said, woo, we'll be in prayer about that. That's for darn sure. Well, when you join a motorcycle club, you come in as a prospect. You're not a member. You're a prospect. And in a Christian motorcycle club, as a prospect means you're a servant, which means you do everything. We have one now in our club. He'll be there before I get there tonight to do the worship service for Teen Challenge. Service starts at 7. He's there at 5:30 making coffee, making sure the chairs are all set up, making sure the Bible's there. That's what his job is. And when he stays until we're done, he got to clean up. A prospect is a servant. Anybody get the idea? He has to serve everything. Whatever anybody needs. If Leonard comes into the place tonight, he'll say, hey, you like a bottle of water, sir? Whatever he needs, he go gets it for him. And the saying at the motorcycle club is, how long have you been a prospect? And the answer is, not long enough. Not long enough. You go to the president of the club, Mark, and say, hey, how long have you been a prospect? He'll say, not long enough. Because he's a prospect for how long? For the rest of his life. How long are you a disciple? For the rest of your life. How long should you be growing? Forever, for the rest of your life. And so today we're going to explore the process of what happens when you start to drift away. And there's a parable about that in Scripture, right? The sower planted seeds. And some of the seeds fell on rocky soil, hardened soil. And the seeds just what? Bounced right off. There was no growth. Zero growth. No growth at all. And we know that once in a while the sower sows some seeds in shallow soil. And the roots start to take hold. They start to take hold. And the plant comes up. But soon the problems of life scorch the little plant and kill the little plant. And the fruit of the labor goes away. Sometimes it falls on fertile soil and it takes hold. And no matter circumstances, the plant continues to grow. So we're going to talk about today what happens when the seeds have taken hold. They took hold. You got it. But then something came up and you started to drift away. And what's the danger of that? What's the signs of that? I'm going to teach that to you now. What's the danger of drifting away? Did you know people are following you? Do you know that when people look up to you, they follow you? And let's think about some people who might follow you. How about your children? How many know children will follow you? Sometimes we look at our children and we say to our children, what's the deal? What's the deal? Well, how many know sometimes they're following your deal? Is that not true? And we have some right downstairs right now. We do. And chances are pretty good, Nick and Shauna's kids, they're following, they're watching, they're learning, they're growing. Is that not true? That is true. And in the church, people are watching us. And the danger of drifting away is that there are people who admire you, look up to you, value what you say, and they're willing to follow you to the ends of the earth. Is that true? It is true. And so where you go, sometimes, guess what? They follow. That's the way human nature is. Did you know that the majority of people are followers and not leaders? How many knew that? Did you know most people follow and not willing to lead? It's the truth. Most people will go where everybody else goes. Where Sue goes, I go. Where Sissy goes, I go. Where Glenn goes, I go. I just follow, follow, follow. I'm like a little hamster in a wheel. I follow, follow, follow. That's what people do. There aren't very many leaders. There are a lot more privates, right, than generals. Is that right? A lot more privates. Are they enlisted? I'm forgetting. Privates in general. There's not many generals. There's a whole lot more privates, right? And so the danger of drifting away is it doesn't just affect you. It affects who? Everybody. Think of Jim Jones. He was a good leader, charismatic, but he drifted away from the Word. How many people followed him? All of them. Followed them until they drank the sign. Fact is, there's an article right now on the internet that they're still finding remains. Yeah, still finding remains of those poor folks. And so the danger of drifting away is you're not the only one that's drifting. There are others who are drifting with you. When you get up in the morning, you say, for example, I don't feel like going to church today. Guess what? There are people under you who say, boo, thank gosh, I didn't want to go either. It's true. There are people who are following us and watching us that when you say, you know what, I don't want to go to church today, there are people going, yo, thank you, Jesus. There are people who are going to follow your lead. Is that how many say that is true? How many say there are people still in your life that's following your lead even today? Well, if you drift away, guess what? You got a boatload of people following you. I'm just speaking the truth. The danger of also drifting away is you're going to go over the falls eventually, aren't you? Eventually, where's that current going to lead you, Glenn? Over the falls. The current always drifts towards the falls. Get it in your brain. The current always drifts towards the falls. The current never drifts away from. If you're on a boat on the Niagara River and you're not paying attention, you are not going away from that event. Because everybody will be standing out, look, I will say, oh, look at that girl, look at that Susie in the boat. Oh, this is going to be bad. Always drift towards the falls, never away. Let's turn our Bibles, please. Psalm 122:1. We're going to look at the signs of a drifter. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. It's not my intent. Not my intent. My intent is to have the Bible point fingers. Let's take heed to what Scripture says.
I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
First sign of a drifter, they no longer want to go to church. That's the first sign. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. What's that mean? Go to worship. That's what that means, go to worship. The first sign of somebody who's drifting is you no longer want to what? Go to church. I was really involved in church. I was enthused about going to church. I really wanted to get the message. I wanted to learn. I really wanted to raise my hands in worship. And all of a sudden, that's no longer a deal for me. I just rather stay home. Sleep in. Watch the Steeler game. Whatever else is important to you, you decide that that's no longer an issue that's important for me. That's the first one. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then it's no longer an issue. In fact, as some people will say to me, and they oftentimes do, it's almost like apologetically. They say, oh, Pastor Tom, I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian. I hear that probably 20 times a week. It's like confessional. Like, I give you absolution. I'm a Christian, but I don't go. No, you know I don't have a church, but I'm a Christian. I really want to answer that in a really strong way. I never do. But I want to answer that. Well, if you were a Christian, you'd never stop going to church. Because church is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. But so many times I'll go into people's rooms and When I go see people, I have to go into the chaplain's office of Presbyterian Hospital. There's a little chaplain's room there for us, and there's a card deck. And in the card deck, it has little index cards. It has on there Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Catholic, da 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 da. And then it has on the back, other. And you go, other? You look up and it says, Christian. And they all say, Christian, 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 Christian. That's what it says. Kind of get the idea? And you look and it says, church affiliation, pastor's name. Guess what you see? Nothing. Zero. Nada. And my job is to go see him. And so I walk into a person's room that has Christian, no pastor, no church. I walk in and I say, hey, I'm pastor. Oh, you know what? I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian. Oh, it's okay. I'm just here to visit you. I just want to let you know I don't have a church, but I'm a Christian. Really? And if you were really a born-again, Bible-thumping, card-carrying, blood-bought, scripture-quoting, Bible-toting kind of person, you'd have a church. You couldn't get enough of it. I'm serious. If you're a disciple of the Lord, you can't get enough of worshiping the Lord. And when I start to see people, not here on a Sunday morning, sometimes people say to me, have you seen so-and-so? You haven't seen so-and-so? I said, no, I haven't seen so-and-so. But what do you think is going on with them? You know what I'm thinking? Drifting away. And my mindset has always been, and I know some of us disagree with this, and this is perfectly okay. My mindset is this. I don't see you in church. You can get a phone call. That's fine. But whatever the reason is that you're not here, Jesus should be bigger than that. That's my mindset. That's my mindset. Now, if you're worshiping me someplace else, praise the Lord, praise God, that's perfectly fine with me. I'm okay with that. But if you're just not going, whatever the reason is, Jesus should be bigger than that. How many say that's true? He should be the reason why you're coming. He should be the reason why you can't get enough of church. That's why I'm really not big in calling people I don't see. I don't need to beg you or convince you to come to church. If he's not big enough reason for you to come to church, you work it out with him. Anybody agree with that other than me? That's the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel about it. So, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's go to Romans 14, 19. First reason of drifting, the first sign of drifting is what?
Not in church.
You know, on those days that you say, like Nick just said, I want to sleep in. Did you know that's the day you ought to get up, put your shoes on, and get to church right away? Here's the reason why, guys. Let's just briefly talk about this. Who wants you to be in the house of the Lord?
God.
Who does not want you? Okay, let's just take that simple logical equation. Let's just talk about very simple logic. God wants you in, Satan wants you out. So God says, hey, you know what? You worked hard yesterday. Why don't you just sleep in today? No. Jen, does that sound like God to you? Nope. And so somebody's saying to you, you know, you went the last three Sundays in a row. Take a Sunday off. That's not God talking to you, is it, Sue? Nope. Who is it? Satan. You think Satan wants you in the church? You think Satan wants you growing strong in the Lord? Heck no. And when you get that thought, you ought to jump out of it. You shouldn't walk out of bed. You should jump out of bed. Jump out of bed. Oh, let's go. Let's go. Because that pastor's going to say something that I need to hear. He's going to give a message I need to learn and grow on. Oh, you better get your butt in the church. You better run there as fast as you can. Because he is saying, stay home. You need to get to church, right?
Amen.
When he says, oh, you know what? You don't need to read the Bible today. You read it last year. You know that, what's that movie, what's that thing everybody's watching, America's Got Talent on or something, Dancing with the Stars is on, you have to watch Dancing with the Stars. I don't want to read that scripture that I read it last week. Gotta know, you gotta know. Romans 14, 19.
Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification.
The second issue of a disciple staying a disciple is a disciple pursues everything that makes peace with somebody else. A disciple does everything they can to bring harmony. A disciple does everything they can to lift everybody up. If a person is doing everything they can to make war, a person is doing everything they can to put down, that's drifting away. That's drifting away. Is it easy to make peace with everyone? No. Of course it isn't. Are you everyone? No. Are you called to do the things that's easy? No. No. And when you choose that path, when you choose, how many know this? Love everyone, including your enemies. Who's heard that at least one time in your life? Don't we know that? Who here doesn't know that? I think even the kids downstairs know that one. Love your enemies. Don't you think, Scott? Even they know that one. And so we're loving everyone. We're treating everyone with kindness. We're not insisting on our own way and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, we start making war. What are we doing? We're drifting away. We are drifting away. So we are to pursue the things which make for what? Peace. And we are to edify, which means what? Lift up. Encourage. Never put down. Don't put down. Don't put down. Lift up. Lift up. Lift up. And when we start going in a different direction, we are what?
Drifting
away. So what's the two signs so far? Not going to church and putting everybody down, making war, making everything about you. It's no longer about everybody else. It's about you, your feelings, your heart, your heart. It's not about everybody else. Jesus said, I have come to serve, not to what? Be served. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3:13.
But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Yep. So we are to exhort. We are to praise one another. We are to encourage one another. And how often are we to do that? Daily. Every day. When we make it our business to put people down, when we make it our business to make sure that people feel badly, we're doing what? We're drifting away. Here's a really neat sign of it. There are people who treat strangers better than they treat their own people they say they love. Ain't that crazy? There are people who treat strangers better than the people that share your house. It's true. There are people who treat other kids better than your own. There are people that will respect somebody else's wife more than you respect your own. Isn't that crazy? It's absolutely proven fact that most men would knock some other guy out for saying the same thing you said to your own wife. Isn't that crazy? That there are many mothers that would poke the eyes out of another woman for saying the same thing you just said to your own kids. How many know it's true? It's true. And so a sign of drifting away is not only when we are not exhorting one another, strangers in the city, aliens, foreigners, but we're not exhorting who? Our family, our loved ones, our children, our spouses, our grandkids, our friends, our brothers, and our sisters. What are we supposed to do, sissy? Exhort them, lift them up. Encourage, lift them up, lift them up. How often?
Daily.
When you only do it at Christmas time, you're drifting away. Drifting away. So three signs. One, no longer going to church. Two, making war, not peace. Number three, not encouraging and lifting up. Putting down, putting down, putting down. Okay, let's go to Ecclesiastes 4:9-12.
Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can pick him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
Well, that's a lot of stuff right there. Huh? That's a lot of stuff right there. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I was just talking to Bob right over there. We're talking about if we do procure this building, and I think that we will. Sissy was saying to me, and I think Judy said to me, and some others said to me, well, it needs some work. Well, it does. It does. But see, I look at the work, and I don't look at it with unbelievable problematic issues. I look at the work, and I start to point, now, how many guys am I going to have to call? Now, let me help you. Bob and I just had a conversation right over there. We're thinking, okay, if we get this building, how long is it going to take us to get this thing up and running? Bob and I both looked at each other and said, probably a day. A day. Now, see, that looks like a big deal for you. I know. You're looking at it going, what? And then all the walls need painting, and you need to put a hardwood floor down and all this stuff, and need wires run. But see, we look at each other and go, okay, who's going to help us? And we start going through this. 35 guys from Teen Challenge already told me, Pastor Eric said, hey, when you get your building, make sure you call. I'll have the two van loads of the guys there to help you guys out. 35 guys from Teen Challenge are going to be there. How many? 35 guys from Teen Challenge. That's the first one. Number two, Men's Challenge. Men's Challenge always told us, hey, when you get that building, let us know. We have an electrician, we have a plumber, we have a heating and air conditioning guy, we have a roofer, we have all these guys, plus about 20 guys from Men's Challenge. Sissy and I needed to have a suspended ceiling put in our game room, in the day center with the nursery room. Suspended ceiling. Jim Bernester said to me, what are you going to do? I said, well, we want to suspend the ceiling. Can you run some wires for me? Yeah, when are you going to do that? I said, we'll do it next year. Okay, I'll be there. Doorbell rang, 15 guys showed up. 15 guys, they didn't suspend it, they built one. You kind of get this? They didn't suspend it, they what? Built it. Cathedral. Suspended lights. 15 guys. Those same 15 guys want to come and help. Sons of God's going to be there. You see, because what? Two are better than one. If you are a loner, you are what? Drifting away. You're drifting away. If you are, you know, we call this rugged individualists. Maybe you're one of these rugged individualists that say to yourself, I don't need what? Anybody. I don't need anybody in my life. I'm good. What are you doing? Drifting away. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for later. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when they fall. I'm closer to my brothers than I was to my own brother. Anybody say that's true with your own life? I'm closer to my Christian brothers than I'm certainly closer to my sisters than I am to my own sisters. Anybody agree with that statement too? I'm closer to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Truly, really, truly, if you were going to call somebody brothers and sisters, this is brothers and sisters. Too bad we didn't figure that out when we were growing up. How many say amen to that? Too bad we didn't get that when we were growing up. This is what we should have been like. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a three-stranded cord is no quickly broken. You put two together, add Christ, you're good to go. Somebody who's drifting is always by them what? By themselves. They're no longer in harmony with the brothers and sisters in Christ. They're no longer meeting together. They're no longer breaking bread together. They're no longer fellowshipping together. No, they're off all by themselves. Guess what's going to happen? Woe to you. Woe to you who doesn't have somebody in your life. So four signs so far of drifting and you're going over the falls is what? You no longer go to church. You make peace instead of war. You're no longer lifting everybody up. You're what? Putting everybody down. And what's the fourth one? You're a loner. You're by yourself. I don't need, back to that conversation about, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. What they mean is they're not fellowshipping either. So I need to ask you guys, are you fellowshipping with your brothers and your sisters? You only see them on a Sunday. You need to think about that, right? 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Ooh. Fifth sign of somebody is drifting away. You're hanging around with what? The wrong people. How many remember when your parents were telling you when you're young, don't hang around with them kids? Sue? No, you probably. Don't hang around with them kids. You're going to get yourself in trouble. How many know your mom was right? You know me, him, right? No, yeah. Don't hang around them kids. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Now here's the second question. How many of you was the kid the other mothers was talking about? I'm just saying. Herm, I don't know, maybe. How many of us was the other kid? Don't hang around that kid. You're going to yourself in trouble. How many of you were the kid? And so what happens is, person who is drifting away are starting to associate with what? Wrong people. That doesn't mean like Jeffrey Dahmer people, but it means people who are not going to church, people that can sway you from not going to church, people that have a different way of living than you do. Drugs, sure. You know, Sissy and I do not get invited to everybody's parties. And there was somebody the other day, oh, maybe a week ago or so, said to me, you know, I did not invite you and Sissy to the party. And I was saying, oh, that's okay. But I want to explain to you why I didn't invite you guys. It's because I didn't want you to make you feel uncomfortable because, you know, we were having alcohol and stuff like that there. And I said, oh, I don't think it was us that needed to feel uncomfortable. I think it was you. See, it wasn't us. It was who? It was you. See, if we come, you'll feel uncomfortable. We wouldn't feel uncomfortable. Guess who would feel uncomfortable? You would. So you didn't want to invite us because you didn't want to feel uncomfortable. Not because we would feel uncomfortable, because you didn't want to feel uncomfortable. How many understand that? And if somebody's not going to invite us someplace because they're going to feel uncomfortable because we're taking Jesus, praise God, then we're doing things right. Praise God that I'm doing something right. If I'm not invited to your party because you feel uncomfortable because of who we are, then I'm doing something right. How many understand that? If you're invited to all the parties, maybe you're the one that's doing something wrong. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Be careful because you're followers, not leaders. You go into a direction with the wrong group of kids, guess what you're going to start to do? The wrong things. How many remember this big old cliche? Oh, I suppose if everybody of your friends jumped off a bridge. How many remember that? Shauna, Mom never told you that, did she?
I'm sure I heard that before.
Yeah. Shauna had good friends, though. Most of them. But there were some we didn't know about. Did you know? Well, I didn't know. Did you know? Well, the ones we knew about were good kids. So, five things so far. No longer go to church. Making war instead of peace. You're not lifting everybody up. You're putting what? Them down. You no longer have brothers and sisters in Christ. You're a loner, a rugged individualist. You no longer are congregated with your brothers and your sisters. You're off by yourself doing your own thing. I'm a loner, rugged individualist. And what's the next one we just talked about? Hanging around with the wrong people. Acts 8:4.
Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Well, that's a simple one. You're preaching God. Where? Everywhere you go. St. Francis of Assisi said, go and preach the gospel. And if you have to, use some words. I'll say that one more time. Go and preach the gospel, Jimmy. And if you have to, use some words. Does that mean every one of us need to be in a pulpit of a church?
No.
Why would you want to do that anyhow? Therefore, scattered, preaching the word. You should be preaching the word everywhere you go. At your job, at the Walmart, at the McDonald's, at the Wendy's. Everywhere you go, preaching the word. And when you no longer find that to be a passion, what are you doing?
Drifting.
You're drifting away. Last one, 1 John 2, 15 to 17.
Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
There you go. There you go. And the last one is worldly things become most important to you. It's the things in the world that drives all of your desires. The things in the world is what you live for. I have to have more. I have to have plenty. I have to have it now. And I will make decisions to get it. Everything is important to me. The desires of my mind, the desires of my flesh, the desires of worldly passions, all of that stuff comes what? First. And Jesus comes second. If you know you're doing that, you're drifting away. I'm kind of really proud of myself. I'll tell you why. The Steelers played last night and I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Did you? I didn't know it. I said, hey, I'm turning the corner. I found out they played, Jimmy, and didn't even know it. And guess what's more important, Char?
Don't care.
Didn't care. Wow, I'm turning the corner. How many Steelers fans we got in this room? Well, we know we have some, right? Perfect. But I, that's cool. But you know what? I turned the corner. I didn't care. I wasn't upset. I don't care. And that doesn't mean that you're bad because you care. What I'm simply saying is, I was a fanatic, huh, Sissy? I'm serious. I turned the corner and said, wow, there are more important things than that. So what are the issues that's driving a drifter? Let's see if we can't talk about them. First of all, what's the danger of drifting?
Others follow you.
The second, you're going over the falls. If you don't think there are people following you, well, there are. And that's just not the little kiddies downstairs. The people next to you, where you work. The people in your house you invite for a Thanksgiving Day deal. I want you to think about all the people. I want you to think about Thanksgiving. Help me have Thanksgiving at your house or go to somebody else's house. I want you to think right now. I need you to think. Think of all the people gathered at the Thanksgiving Day meal. I want you to think about that. All the people sitting at that table, either at house you're visiting or at your house. You got the idea? I want you to think about all the people seated at the table. Did you tell them about Jesus Christ? You don't have to, don't raise your hand. Did you tell them about Jesus Christ? Two, do they think you love Jesus Christ? Three, where you're going, is it worth them following? That's a very simple question, right? That's a very simple question. Now, I want to ask you a question. At that table, everybody got the idea, right? Got the image? At that table you're sitting at, on the day of Thanksgiving, all those people at that table, everybody got the image? Who's got the image, right? At that table, you're looking at all those people. Jesus Christ came back right there. You're gone. Who's left? I need you to think about that. Who's left? Would there be anybody left? Don't raise your hand. Would there be anybody left? If there are some people left at that table, whose responsibility was it that you told them about Jesus Christ? Was it mine? Was it mine? I don't know them. Was it mine? Whose was it, Bob? Yours. Christmas Eve comes along. Somebody calls you on the phone. Again, think about all those people you bought all those presents for. You kind of get the image? All those people, all those presents come into your house. They call you on the phone. They say, hey, we're going to be there at 7 o'clock. And you're saying, you know what? I got to go to church. I'm going to church Christmas Eve. Oh, come on. You don't need to go this one time. One time. Come on. One time. Can't you stay home? Come on. One time. Guess whatever you decision you make, guess what? They follow. How many understand the gravity of that? Does drifting affect everybody else?
Yes.
Big time. Especially if you're the patriarch or matriarch of your family, guess what? They are following you. So, what's the signs of a drifter? Let's talk about them real quick. No longer go to church. Not longer important to me. I don't really care whether I go to church or not. You're constantly making war with people, and you're not making peace. Three, you're no longer lifting up. You're what? Putting them down. You're no longer associating one-on-one with a brother or a sister. You're a rugged individual. So it's all about who? Me. I don't need you. Fact is, I don't want you. I'll take care of me. You take care of you. Number five, no longer hanging around with brothers and supporting them and them supporting you. It's no longer an issue in your life. I don't help them. They don't help me. I want to be by myself. Everything is really cool. You're constantly not exhorting, you're not lifting up, you're not edifying, you're not picking up, you're actually putting what? Down. You're no longer on fire for the Lord, you're hanging around with the wrong people, and you have the desires of the world. Everything in the world is more important than everything else that should be important. That's drifting. Does anybody really care? As long as you come in on a Sunday morning and sit in a black hard chair, nobody knows. Well, somebody knows. You see, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you're not fooling him. He looks at you like a pane of glass. He knows the reason why you do what you do. And he knows the things you don't do. He knows the secrets you never told your mom. He knows them too. He knows it all. He knows the desires of all of our hearts. For example, when we went to Heartwood Acres, he knows if you think this way. Oh man, if I don't go down there, Pastor Tom and Bob's going to know, for example, I didn't go, and then I'm going to be made to feel guilty, and I don't want them on my case. I don't want to explain to them why I wasn't there. You know, if that's your mindset, stay home. Don't stay home. Just stay home. Your desire is to go to what? To minister to other people. If you do the Wednesday night cooking thing with Mark and you say to yourself, you know what, oh man, I obligated myself to go there and I don't really want to go there. I just rather stay home. Dancing with the Stars is on or something. And I really don't want to go down there, but I'm going to go because I said I would. And you know what, I don't want anybody calling me on the phone saying, where am I? Guess what you should do? Stay home. Because it should be the conditions of your heart. True? So does it matter if you're drifting? But here's the thing to think about in closing this message with you. God knows. And most of us know too. We know too. How many of you know? How many of you are close enough to somebody in this church right now? Let's just be honest and be very bold. How many of you know some people in this church you would know if they were drifting away? Sure. We'd know. Wouldn't we, Mary? We'd know. And so we would know. You know why we know? Because we care. Because in case you don't know this, in case you never thought about this, there are people in this room that care about you. We really do. This is not just lip service. I mean, we really do. How many of you care about people in this room? I mean, we really do. We really do. We really do. In a small church like this, it's not so hard not to know. Isn't it, Nick? It's easy to know. We know. And we care. And we care. So let's pray. Father, we care about everybody in this room. We don't want anybody to drift away. But Lord, others have drifted away. And we clearly know about it. We know. What a sad, sad, sad thing, Lord. And the reason why it is so sad that my brothers and sisters clearly have to grasp a hold of is those who never heard the gospel message and those who have never been taught, they're without excuse. I suppose that they even might be able to say, I didn't know. But for those who drifted away, they're without excuse. They know. They know. They know the truth. They know what's expected. They've been told. And so, Lord, when we drift away, we are without excuse. And we will reap. We will reap what we sow. So, Lord, it's very important for those of us who have heard the truth. Those of us that's been sitting on these chairs, we know what's expected of us. And when we willfully choose to drift away, we are without excuse. And the day will come that we will reap what we sow. And all of God's people said.